I put on your outline, if you've seen it, it says allies and adversaries, the invisible and the invincible. Because we do have allies and we do have adversaries, and they are invisible most of the time. But we have to have a confidence in God about this. And so I'm going to start out with a verse or two. Don't have anything to do with angels yet, but we'll get there. This is 2 Chronicles 16:9. This is one that you'll be memorable of. "For the eyes of the Lord move to and fro throughout the earth, that he may strongly support those whose heart is completely his." God's looking around for people who want to give their heart to him, and who have given their heart to him, and they're wanting to be sold out, abandoned, committed. He's looking for that. Amplified says it a little bit differently. "To show himself strong in behalf of those whose hearts are blameless towards him." So if I ask you if you had a blameless heart, you'd be embarrassed and say no. I mean, because you'd be humble. But I'm not asking about a sinless heart, I'm asking about a blameless heart. Sinless heart means you never did anything wrong. And you're a liar if you're saying that, if you've never done anything wrong, which also makes you a sinner. But, excuse me. But a sinless heart isn't what he's asking for. It's a blameless heart, a heart that's turned towards him. Lord, I want to. I'm moving to. Would you grace me to be abandoned to you, to be committed to you in ways, higher and deeper maybe than I ever have. And he said, the eyes of the Lord are all over the place looking for people like that to do what? Judge them because they aren't perfect. That's what most people think. That's what a lot of people think. They feel like Clarence. They're never going to get their wings. You don't get them anyway, but because we're better than that. But the idea is, what's God up to? He's up to finding ways of helping people, empowering people, encouraging people, training people, equipping people to be everything they would like to be, everything he would like to have them be. And you've got to know that's what he's doing. And believe that that's the kind of God he is. And that's, now the Bible says that's what he's doing. So you don't take my word for it. But my word happens to be his word. So we're in pretty good shape. But the eyes of the Lord to and fro, looking for people that he can support whose hearts are turned towards him. Now, again, the enemy would encourage you to say, no, you mess this up and you mess this up and you should get this. You deserve this. You don't deserve all this forgiveness and grace and mercy. You deserve this. You did this. This is what you should get. Now, if he's never talked to you about that, you ain't listening, because he does that. He wants all of our mistakes and failures and faux pas to be red-lettered and neon, so we have to see them all the time and we constantly have to deal with them. That's not how it works. When you mess up and you genuinely go to the Lord and say, I messed up and please forgive me, then he forgives you and cleanses you, which means you walk away forgiven and clean. And you don't have to relive that all the time. Now, the enemy wants you full of guilt and fear and regret and remorse and grudges, or other people grudged against you. That's not what the Lord's up to. That is not what he's up to. But he wants you to think that's what it is. We talked a little bit about this Saturday about somebody not being able to hear the Lord. And I thought, I know that. I mean, I understand that. I don't know how to hear the Lord. But you hear you're guilty, you're lousy, you're full of sorrow, you're full of grief, right? I mean, we have no trouble hearing that. That spiritual voice is speaking to you. So you really can hear the Lord. You have to recognize what it is he's saying and who is the one that's speaking to you. Psalm 55 says this, "Give ear to my prayer, O God. Don't hide yourself from my supplication. Give heed to me and answer me. I am restless in my complaint and I am surely distracted." That sounds like Monday morning. Doesn't it? Everybody ever feel that way? He says, Why would you feel this way? And it answers the question, because of the voice of the enemy. He's hearing the voice of the enemy. David, man after God's own heart, is hearing the voice of the enemy because of the pressure of the wicked. What do you mean? Well, it's the squeeze, man. It's what's out there in the environment. This world is passing away. The God of this world, evil, wicked, and there's a squeeze, there's a pressure, especially if your desire has been chosen to obey God and move upstream, you feel the pressure of the wicked. For they bring down trouble upon me. Now, that really is Monday. Trouble is upon me. And in anger, they bear a grudge against me. So, I'm not here to convince you that there's an enemy and he does stuff, but there's an enemy and he does stuff. And in the midst of that, the Lord's looking for people whose hearts are turned towards him so he can empower them above and beyond having to live that way. That's pretty cool. Now, 2 Kings chapter 6. Now, the king of Aram was warring against Israel. That happened a lot, always in wars. And he counseled with his servants, saying, "In such and such a place shall be my camp." And the man sent the word of God to the king of Israel, saying, "Beware that you do not pass this place, for the Arameans are coming down here." King of Israel sent to the place about which the man of God had told him, and thus he warned him, so that he guarded himself there more than once or twice. Now the king of Aram was enraged over this thing, and he called his servants and said to them, "Will you tell me which one of us is against or is for the king of Israel?" In other words, how's he getting this information? And one of his servants said, "No, my lord, but Elisha the prophet who's in Israel tells the king of Israel the words that you speak in your bedroom." Na-na-na-na-na-na. The Spirit of the Lord is using the prophet to tell the king of Israel, protect yourself. These guys are after you. And he's furious. He's thinking, who's telling him this? He says, you got to understand. The prophet of God's hearing from it. And he's telling the king. That's how this is happening. So he said, the king says, "Well, go and see where that prophet is that I may send and take him." And it was told him, saying, "Behold, he's in Dothan." He sent horses and chariots and a great army there, and they came by night and surrounded the city. Now when the attendant of the man of God, this is Elisha's attendant, came, had risen out early in the morning and gone out, behold, there was an army with horses and chariots circling the city. And his servant said to him, I don't know what he said all, but he said, "Alas, my master, what are we going to do now?" And so he answered, he said, "Well, don't fear, those who are with us are more than those who are with them." Well, those who were with us were Elisha and his servant. And here's his whole army. And Elisha prayed and said, "Lord, I pray you open the eyes that he may see." And the Lord opened the servant's eyes and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. Huh? And Elisha said, "Don't fear, those with us are more than those who are against us." Isn't that cool? So angel armies showing up, but they couldn't see him. Now, he who had eyes to see could see, but the other army didn't see them either. Isn't that cool? And so the answer here to protecting the people of God was to send an angel army. Do you see that? I'm not making this up. This is what happened. Well, that was Old Testament. It doesn't happen anymore. Well, we'll talk about that in a minute. But the idea is the Lord was looking for people who were his people, who had need of him, and who wanted to do what he wanted them to do. And here he's empowering them because they're not going to get wiped out by this army. He's going to. We talked in the prayer room yesterday a little bit. I like to use this word, ambush. Because a lot of times with me, the Lord had to ambush me because that way I was never going to volunteer to be part of what he was doing. But people were praying for me, which gave him permission to ambush me. This is the same kind of a thing. Only he's ambushing the enemy this time and not somebody else. So angels are our allies And the Bible is chock full of angelic involvement. And Exodus chapter 23, verse 20, he says this, "Behold, I'm going to send an angel before you to guard you along the way." Wow. Again, this is Old Testament. We have better covenant, better promises. But he says, "I'm sending an angel before you to guard you along the way and bring you to the place which I have prepared. Be on guard before him, obey him, don't be rebellious towards him. My name is in him. But if you truly obey his voice and do all I say, then I'll be an enemy to your enemies and an adversary to your adversaries." That's pretty good. And then he goes through them. "My angel will go before you into the land, the Amorites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Canaanites, the Hivites, the Jebusites, and they'll all be out of sight." I waited a long time to say that. But he does. He says, "I'm going to take care of them all." And it's like lions and tigers and Jebusites. Oh my. But he's doing something. He's taking care of them. And he's doing it with angelic involvement. Do you see that? And that's pretty cool. I'm going to say pretty cool a lot of times, so just get used to it. But Judges 13. If you read, I could have done this and read all of Judges 13 and 14, but we'd be here till kickoff, which isn't until like 7 tonight. So, but read the whole, at least chapter 13. The whole thing is a conversation with angels. Now, this is one of those interesting, if I were God, and we're all happy that I'm not, but if I were God, I'd leave sentences like this next one out of the Bible. It says, "Now the sons of Israel again did evil in the sight of the Lord." Now, there's just stuff, it's just out there. "So the Lord gave them into the hands of the Philistines 40 years. There was a certain man of Zorah, of the family of the Danites, whose name was Manoah, and his wife was barren and had not borne any children. Then the angel of the Lord appeared to the woman and said to her, 'Behold, now you are barren and have borne no children, but you shall conceive and give birth to a son.'" And it goes on and it goes on. That's verse 3. You go to verse 24. "And then the woman," 21 verses later, "gave birth to a son named Samson." Samson's in the Faith Hall of Fame. "And the child grew up, and the Lord blessed him, and the Spirit of the Lord began to stir him in Manasseh and all these other places." Now, this is particularly important because it was an angel coming to introduce to this person who couldn't have a child and to her husband who knew she couldn't have a child that you're going to have a child. And it was through an angelic involvement, that's how the information came. Samson becomes not the all-American boy, but he ended good. And he's in Hebrews 11 Faith Hall of Fame. Involving angels, 1 Kings 19. This is right after 1 Kings 18, where Elijah has killed all the prophets of Baal and the fire came down and consumed and wow, and it hadn't rained for 6 months, or what, 3.5 years, and then it does rain. So, I mean, just all sorts of stuff happened. And Ahab, the king, goes home from having all the prophets of Baal killed and said, "Now Ahab told Jezebel," a lady he was never supposed to marry by the way, but did, told her all that Elijah had done and how he killed all the prophets with the sword. And Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah saying, "So may the gods do to me even more if I do not make your life as one of those by tomorrow this time." In other words, you took him out, we're taking you out. And it's not about God, it's gods. And then, truth, if I'm God, I might not print this verse either. And he was afraid. Well, there were some reasons. And he was afraid and arose and ran for his life to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a juniper tree, and he requested for himself that he might die. Now, that's not a message from the Lord. And he's not operating under the guidance and the power of the Holy Spirit. Witchcraft is after him. That Jezebel spirit thing is on his hide. He said, "It's enough now, O Lord, take my life, for I'm no better than my fathers," and they're all dead. He lay down and slept under a juniper tree, and behold, there was an angel touching him and said to him, "Arise and eat." He looked, and behold, there was had his head a bread cake baked on hot stones and a jar of water. So he ate and drank, and laid down again. The angel's involvement saved his life. Broke the curse of Jezebel over his life and got the spirit of death kicked in the teeth, got him physically rested up and nurtured up, and he went out and he said, okay. You see that? That's pretty strong. Well, how'd you know it was an angel touching him? Because it said so. Psalm 68, verse 17 says, the chariots of God are 20,000, even thousands upon thousands. The Lord is among them as he was at Sinai, at the holy place, the sanctuary in Jerusalem. For he will give his angels charge over you to accompany you and defend and preserve you in all your ways of obedience and service. All your ways of obedience and service. He's especially going to do stuff to help you. His eyes are going to and fro all across the earth, looking for people that are wanting to follow him, and he's empowering them to be able to do that. If you will notice this, it started out by saying Israel again had done evil stuff, and the Lord put them under the Philistines for 40 years in the middle of being sinned their way out of being in covenant people with him and being in connection that way. In the middle of that sinfulness, he sent an angelic help to him. Amen. Are you seeing this? Yeah. Well, but the days are evil. And? Like it wasn't then? Right? I mean, we get this idea, well, yeah, if we get holy and stuff, maybe we'll get, maybe God would send something to help us. Listen, he doesn't want us sinning our way out of his protection and all that kind of stuff, because they had, the Philistines were not polite to them during the 40 years. They were slaves. They were under the thumb. But in the midst of that, time after time, he releases angelic assistance. Amen. Why? Because somebody prayed. And also, he said, I'm looking. Just because they messed up doesn't keep me from being me, even if they quit being them. This is an encouragement. Hope you can see that. In the midst of it. And it wasn't the first time, because it had happened again, it said. Even after they'd done this before and he'd helped them, he steps back in. Helps them, brings deliverers, prophets. Wow. And you keep bumping into things like that and you have to say, this must have some significance. Tells you what God's like. Tells you what God's like. Psalm 103. And I almost just was going to speak this, but oh, shoot, yeah, we're good. I love this passage of Scripture. I like a lot of them, but years ago, I don't know exactly how to tell you years ago, but years ago, I was in St. Joe, so it's been a lot of years ago, and the Lord, I said, what do you want me to do? And he said, why don't you teach about angels? That's a long time ago. Did I mention that? I knew less then even than I know now. And I thought, well, that's a good idea. What? It'd be good if I knew something. And yeah, you can look in books and stuff, but this, the Lord, I was innocently reading the Bible, reading the 103rd Psalm, and man, this is wonderful stuff. So we're probably going to slow down just a little bit here. Psalm 103, verse 18 or 19. The Lord has established his throne in the heavens, and his sovereignty rules over all. Good. Bless the Lord, you his angels. Now he's talking to and about the angels, who are mighty in strength. So there. Who perform his word, not just read it, perform his word, obeying the voice of his word. Bless the Lord, all you his hosts, you who serve him, doing his will. Bless the Lord, all you works of his, in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. That's Psalm 103, 19 through 22. So angels are mighty in strength. They perform his word. They obey the voice of his word. They do his will, strongly supporting those who give their hearts to him. See, he's spoken his will. I'm looking for an opportunity to strongly support those whose lives are being pulled my way. And one of the ways I do that is I can use angels, because that's their job. That's one of the ways he uses them, is to do what he said there in Chronicles 16:9. I'm looking for ways to strongly support. Well, then he's going to send people that are mighty in strength, who perform his word, who do his will, who obey his voice. Can you see those two things? That's why I started out with the Chronicles verse that didn't have anything to do with angels. Because it does. Because they do the will of God. The will of God is clearly stated there. I'm looking to bless people, support people, encourage people, empower people, get them equipped to do the work of the ministry, all that kind of stuff. And I can use what I created the angels for as help. So at that time, I kind of came up with an idea, and I said, you know, I had a little picture in my mind. I saw a whole bunch of a big old warehouse, and I saw a bunch of angels sitting on forklifts, and they were unemployed. And I thought, that's kind of weird. That's not in the Bible, by the way, so it just was in my head. And I just felt like the Lord said, well, get them off the unemployment line. Speak the word to them. Speak what the Bible says they were created to do. Because it doesn't just say they do his will. They also obey the voice of the word. I can give voice to the word. I'm doing it now. You do it every day by praying. You're giving voice to the word. That's why I've been such an advocate. One of the reasons for many, many years, pray the Bible, pray the Bible, pray the Bible. Why? Because you can actually give them marching orders. You can say, hey, I understand the Lord's out there looking to perform and watch over his word and perform it. And here you are, mighty in strength, empowered. You know his will. You respond to his word. You do what he wants. And here's what he says he wants. So I want to release you to bless Caesar by doing this, 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 and this. And I'm reading the verse, whatever it is. And I ask for angelic intervention on his behalf. Huh? I mean, this turned me on. So, I'll just read what I wrote. We need to help employ angels to do what the Bible says they're supposed to do. We can give them the will of God by praying the will of God, by giving voice to the word of God and releasing these allies that are mighty in strength to work on our behalf. It says in verse 21, Amplified, they are his ministers who do his pleasure. Do his pleasure. What do they want to do? They want to please the Father. What's the Father want? He wants the kids taken care of. He wants people that are out of line to get in line. He wants people that don't believe to get rid of the unbelief. He wants people who are full of fear to be full of love so they can be free and have peace. And am I doing okay? And so you look at that. Well, how are we going to make that happen? How can we do that? Am I the angel's boss? No, you're under the lordship of Jesus. They do his will. But you know what? When you've got his spirit and his word and you speak it, they got something to obey. Because you're now doing what they want you to do, which is to release them to do what God made them to do, because they want to have the Lord say, oh, that really pleases me. See, to bring him pleasure is a big deal, is it not? Don't you remember if that one time your father was pleased with what you did? That's about what it would have been for me. They honor things like that. They want to do stuff like that. And it's honoring. It's worshiping. It's having that little bit of submissive wonder that, oh, I want your pleasure to be deep, to be full. I can have a way. There's something I can do that makes God smile. Let's do that. I don't know what I'm doing. You know, there's a whole army of guys up there. What's their job? They're supposed to come and minister to those of us who are the heirs of salvation. Well, then it's not wrong for the heirs of salvation to get engaged in the process. Are you with me? Am I praying to angels? No. You're saying, Lord Jesus, this is what your word says. Would you release those who you created to do these things, in this way, in that time, for this purpose, in that person? No, you don't pray to angels. You pray to the Lord. But can you see the engagement here? Plan and purposes are there. Well, how do you know they'll do it? Well, you're no worse off if they don't. You're in just the same shape. But time after time after time after time, you can see angels have been displayed to people and before people. And it's, how many of you think that Manoah's wife prayed when she couldn't have a child? Went to God, oh God, oh God, oh God, oh God. Why can't, would you? Do you suppose it's possible that angel got sent to her because she and Manoah prayed? Yeah, a lot of the things that happened there that we could go back and look at. I guarantee you, when that little slave of Elijah's sees that big army out there, and there's just him and Elijah, and he's thinking, we're bad, but we aren't that bad. He's crying out, help! And the Lord says, oh yeah, I already took care of it. So I just want you to see, I think that there's an empowerment here because you're praying the scriptures. You're praying the word of God. You're praying the will of God. And listen to me, I won't go back in there and dig this up, but a day comes when angels serve us. Right? We judge them. Am I right? Right? Isn't that what it says? So we have an idea. Well, angels are spiritual beings. So are we. So are we. They're not redeemed.
That's right.
They're not human beings. Come on. Don't clap. It'll slow me down. What I'm trying to say, this isn't wrong. This isn't some kind of weirdo thing you're doing. No, this is what the Bible says to do. And in our praying, we can release angelic intervention. Well, can you trust what they're going to do? They do the will of God. They do what pleases God, like we should. Oh, they don't have any choice to the matter. Any decisions about whether or not they were going to obey God been dealt with a long time ago. And 2/3 of them did, and 1/3 of them didn't, right? Go back to the history. So if you don't get anything out of this any more than there's angels in the Bible, man, go back and read Psalm 103 again and see what it says. They're mighty in strength who perform His word, who give voice to His word, who do His will, who please Him. Oh, Lord, would You please release the angels to do what pleases You towards Caesar, towards whomever you're praying for. In fact, it's okay if you get to pray for yourself that way. All right. I'm going to skip a little bit here, but in Matthew chapter 4, it says the Holy Spirit leads Jesus into the wilderness to have a confrontation with the devil. And I thought, that's a lousy job. we're going to go here now. And he fights with the devil for a long time. There's 40 days of prayer and fasting and everything. And when it comes to the end, it says the devil leaves, and it says, and the angels came and ministered to Jesus. That's what it says. And that means take care of, attend to, help, bless. And I can't tell you how many times I've said, listen, Lord, I'm shot. You know, come on, you know. Whatever the angels did for you, would you have them do it for me? That sounds silly. No, I don't know exactly what they did. But if it was good for him, caramba. Man, it's like, am I going to think that's good for me? I think so. I mean, I'm not trying to be silly here. This is really true. What did they do? Something he apparently needed and appreciated. Because he's God. He didn't have to let anything happen. But they came and did this, and it's like, I know the first time, hope I can say, well, I guess I can say this. But first time I spoke in an African-American church, and these guys were getting with it, man. You know, and I'm just me. I'm from Iowa, for heaven's sakes, you know. And they did teach me to hoop a little bit. Wow. You know, and I got lit up, and guys playing a B3, and wow. And I had no larynx left. at the end, we got to the end of the day. It was a Sunday night. I had elders with me and everything. And I mean, I just almost couldn't talk. And this deacon came over and handed me a glass. And it was semi-frozen grape juice. You know, like a slushy type of thing. And grape, which is my favorite flavor. He didn't know that. And he said, "This is what we always do." And I said, "Got it." Oh, that angel came and ministered to me. And it was a physical thing, but also, man, somebody had figured this out. And I thought, wow, how did those guys know that and I didn't? And then we got in the car and to go back, come back here, and one of my elders looked at me and said, "Who was that?" Like, it was me, but who was that? How did you do that? I said, "I don't know. It just came out. You know, this is just how it happened." But the need there was, and it was great. And not only that, it was, I prayed so many times about situations like that. "Oh, Lord, don't let me be a cloud without water. I'm supposed to be here. For something, I got something to give away. Please let me do that. And if I don't know what I'm doing, just get me out of here. You know, don't let me clog up the machinery." We got to be great friends and preaching all sorts. It was a wonderful deal. So it was also an inclusion thing for me. It was like, you fit. It's okay. And because they did for me what they did for the bishop, you know. And I thought, yes, this was really cool. So to me, that's an example of what Jesus might have felt when they came to him. He's fighting the devil, not a demon. Devil, there's only one devil. He can only be one place at one time. And he's messing with him for 40 days. And he was fasting, hadn't been eating, you know. You know how spiritual you are when you fast, right? About like a turnip. Yes, I'm about as sharp as a ball bearing at the end of the time of fasting. And I think of that, and they knew exactly what to do. And they showed up as soon as the enemy was gone. Isn't that cool? Now, the Lord had all that set up, but they were doing the will of God. They were doing what met God's pleasure. They were doing according to plan and purpose. So I think you can trust them to do what we need them to do. Now, I don't know about you, but there are times when the words I can come up with don't seem to be quite enough when I'm praying. I want to read you another verse. Okay, we're good? This is Matthew chapter 5, or 15, excuse me. He says, "Or what woman, if she has 10 silver coins and loses one coin, doesn't light a lamp and sweep a house and search carefully until she finds it? When she's found it, she calls together her friends and neighbors, saying, 'Rejoice with me, for I've found the coin which I've lost.' In that same way, I tell you, there's joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents." Angels, and I'm going to say this loosely, this, you realize the Bible doesn't say this, I'm saying this. Angels are cheerleaders when you lead somebody to the Lord. They are celebrating for when the people that you're talking to and praying for come to the Lord, they party. It says they celebrate it. So they do know what's going on. They do understand the will of God. They recognize the need for people to make that commitment. And when it happens, good for you guys. I think that's pretty cool. I always say that when I baptize people, man, if they celebrate in heaven on this, we should be turned on down here too. But that's what it's talking about. They celebrate. I've always marveled at this little example from Acts chapter 12. Peter's in jail, right? Peter's in jail. He'd been in jail anyway. And there's people praying, prayer meeting, John Mark's house, his parents' house, praying for Peter to get out of jail. And angel shows up, clink, clink, chains come off, doors get open, other doors get open, gates get open. And Peter gets outside and he realizes, oh, I'm not in there anymore. It's a great story. He said, I know, those guys are praying for me. I'll go there. So he goes there and he knocks on the door. And this little gal named Rhoda, who's the servant, answers the door and goes, hey, Rhoda, what's up? And she goes in and tells him, Peter's out on the porch. And they say, he is not. We're in here praying for him to get out. That's exactly what they do. Yeah. And I thought, these are Americans. Sorry. Because he can't be there because we're praying. I love that story. And so they said, you're out of your mind. So she goes back out and said, they say it's not you. And he goes, you know, here I am. So she goes back in, yeah, it's really him. He says, you know, this is me making this up now, you realize.
Right.
But tell him my feet are still wet from walking on the water. If I'm Peter, that's what I'm going to say. I'm sorry you didn't like it, I did. And they said, no, if you go back, that's probably just Peter's angel. Whoa. So I've read the Bible. Nobody ever accused Peter for looking angelic. So the angel looked like him. Well, what's that mean? I don't have any idea. But isn't that interesting? Don't you find that? I find that very compelling. Like, it was, they were comfortable enough to know they had seen Peter's angel with Peter. And, yeah, they curiously look alike. That's probably his angel. He probably was going to come and talk to us about praying for him to get him out of jail. But he's already out. Well, he walks in and that takes care of it. But isn't that interesting? And there's no explanation. There's no other place anywhere that I can find where that's explained or extrapolated or anything like that. And I just thought, that's cool. I mean, and it was matter of fact enough that them telling Rhoda, that's his angel, don't worry about it, that was the answer. She was supposed to have known enough about the situation that she could have come to that conclusion as well. Isn't that neat? And I thought, people say, I want to know about this and when the end time and all. No. But that's a little puzzle I wouldn't mind knowing something about. Now, when you get to heaven, it won't make any difference.
Right?
Right? So people say, I'm going to ask Paul this. No, you're not. Paul's not even in the front row, man. really, it's Jesus. Okay. I'll just shut up and enjoy it. But it was not abnormal, apparently, in the New Testament time for angelic involvement to be there and in some cases was visible, right? So now if 18 people come to you tomorrow and say you start seeing angels, slow down. But it does. I was teaching a fifth and sixth grade class years and years ago, and Brad Boyd and I, Brad played some music, and we were praying. I said, let's pray. And I was talking about Philip and Azotus and flying and all that kind of stuff. And I said something about angels. And two of the little girls said, oh, we were praying this morning and we saw two angels. And I said, that's sweet. You know, good for you. And then she said, you don't see angels? And I said, I see, you know, my eyes are bad. And I said, well, not normally. He said, well, we see him almost every time we pray. I said, well, come up here and lay hands on me then. And they did. I didn't, but it was cool. And it was like, I was so pleased, you're a fifth and sixth grader, and it was a normative part of their life. They didn't think it was spooky. They didn't think it was weird. It's just that Jesus loves us. I mean, really, it was. I'm going, have I complicated things too much? I mean, that was really a cool thing. And I said, hey, Lord, if that's something you need me to do, I'm open. You know, let's go. And they prayed for me and hugged me and wish I would grow up and, you know, that kind of stuff. But I thought, what a wonderful encounter that they had a peace in their heart that this was not overdone, that it was normative for them to touch that, isn't it? Now, I don't normally go around and lay hands on people and say, you need to see angels. I don't do that. But you know what? I have sensed angelic presence, but I have never seen anything. And maybe you don't need to. I mean, if you can make the fifth grade girls do it, you can help me, right? The point is, they felt assisted. They felt like God was helping them, meeting with them, doing what it says in 1 Chronicles 16, 9, to say, oh, he's looking all around, looking for people who are wanting to obey him, and he's wanting to help them. And they were getting assistance in that. I think that's a loving, wonderful thing, you know, for God to do. I think God loves angels too much to make them look like me, would be the other story. But see, it was identifiable to them. And so, we were in another building years ago, and there were three of us back by the back door. Right behind you, Brad, if we were back there, we'd be like right standing right behind you against the wall back there. And just standing there like this, and we were in worship time, and we're just praying, you know, kind of, oh, Lord, type of a thing, you know. And it was just mostly music. There were instruments, but there was nobody singing. We were in that interlude, you know, period of time. Just the presence of the Lord was sweet, and nobody wanted to interrupt it with. So they just kept playing the music, and we're standing there. And there were three of us there, and all of a sudden, this cool breeze came by. And I thought, AC must have come on. And somebody else had the same thought. And he said, I looked, we're not near a vent. I said, really? Happened again. Happened three different times. And they said, what do you think? And I said, perhaps we have entertained angels unaware. That's what I said. Now, that was about, I don't know, 30 years ago, something like that. I've probably had two or three other experiences like that, similar, you know, to that, where, you know, oh, yeah. How many of you, I gotta quit, have been in a meeting where the volume of what was coming out of the congregation was two or three times the number of people that were there? Where, oh, we're getting help from the sanctuary. I used to pray that almost every Sunday morning, help from the sanctuary. Because sanctuary has music going on there 24/7, worship 24/7. And I said, oh Lord, if you would release help from the sanctuary. And because he'll be enthroned on our praises as it gets lifted up. And I'm reasonably assured in my heart a number of times been places where there was like an angelic choir or something, you know, like what happened, we'll look at next week when they tell the shepherds, hey, guys, check out manger. He's here. Go look. And then, boom, there's a big, it says multitude of them. Glory to God in the highest and peace on earth, goodwill to men. Having that experience, can you prove that's angelic? No, but you can't prove it's not. So I just believe we do get assistance. We do get help. There are times when he's doing something to do that thing that touches our hearts and allows us to get in on what's pleasing him. And it's angelic assistance and we don't know. Now, I'm not trying to be spooky with you. I'm just saying all these things are supernatural things that are happening. Almost all of them were in the Old Testament. Which to me is kind of fun, isn't it? So I got a couple of texts last 2 days from our friend Byron Easterling. And one of them he just sent out as a pop-up little thing. You may have seen it. From the 12th chapter of Daniel. And I've skipped over Daniel 9 and 10 because it takes too long today. But it says, Daniel 9 and 10, this is about 20 minutes worth. Here it is. The angel shows up and said, I'm going to give you insight with understanding. Insight with understanding. I prayed that a lot. Lord, would you send an angel to give me insight with understanding as you did Daniel? I got Bible on it. He did it this way. Daniel was praying. I was praying. Lord, I'm not hearing. Would you please? But here's what Daniel 12:1 says. Now at that time, Michael, the great prince who stands guard over the sons of your people, will arise, and there will be a time of distress such as never has occurred since there was a nation until that time. And then at that time, your people, everyone who's found written in the book, will be rescued. Michael, the archangel, saying, everyone whose name is written in the book will be rescued. If you know who Jesus is, your name's written in the book. And he says, this is a promise of rescue. This is a promise of end-time-ish situation. So that's what he says. When you've had this thing, there's tribulation, there's trouble. Everybody whose name is written in the book of life will be rescued. What's that mean? Whatever he means for it to mean. Isn't that cool? I'm in 9 and 10. I was going to get to 12 next. But I get this from Byron. I said, cool, man, I'll use that. And it's a promise directly to Daniel from God through the angel Gabriel. So now next week, we're going to talk about angels, not quite as much, but we're going to talk about angels and what their part was surrounding the birth of Jesus. And you know some of it, you may know all of it. It's amazing to me that the Lord has included so much angelic involvement and we seem to have so little. I want to challenge you to pray from Psalm 103. Angels, mighty in strength, who perform his word, who obey the voice of his word, who do his will, and who do his pleasure. And engage them to do that on our behalf, on your behalf, on the behalf of people that you're praying with, working with. Can we all stand up for just a minute? I always ask the Lord if there's any word of knowledge for the day. And I got a couple things I wasn't sure what I was hearing, but I'm just going to use them. So this could be for somebody that's, live streaming with us, might be for you, might be for somebody you're praying with, but I just kept hearing right ankle, and then the next time I said it, I said, right angle? And I'm wondering if there's something wrong with somebody's right ankle that's not at the right angle, and it's not, anybody having a right ankle problem, don't try to fake it and make me happy. Anybody specifically having a problem with your right ankle? It's painful. Anything like that? If you're live streaming with us and you're having that, email me, because we'll pray. The other thing I heard was something about a vertebrae, and I kept hearing strangled. And I don't know if somebody's got something strangling vertebrae and it's hurting them, or the vertebrae is actually doing the strangling. I couldn't make anything good out of it, so I wrote it down. Anybody having a vertebrae problem, that where you feel like it's bunched up or squeezed up or where the nerves are messed up? Anybody having that? Mike, I love when you can be prophetically stupid, because I would have known you might have that, but it didn't cross my mind. I mean, really, that happens, so you'll say the thing. Anybody else? Yeah, we have a few. If you're having that, can you stand out in the aisle so people can know? Because I want to pray. I felt like the Lord wants to do something. Anybody else? Well, let's get some people around these guys, if we can do that. Great. Great, 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 great. I'm going to pray, and then you all just start praying. Lord, I believe you said something to me this morning that you want to do something with vertebrae. We just invite you. Come, Holy Spirit. Now, Lord, I also know the Bible says that you send your word and heal people. That's what it says. And I want to say, Lord, we want to invite angelic intervention right now, because that's their job, to do the will of God, to obey the voice of the word of God. And the word says you send your word and heal people. And I pray you do that today. You touch vertebrae that releases, takes the strangle away. Come, Lord. And Lord, I also pray for that right ankle if somebody was afraid to stand up. Would you touch them now and cause it to come into alignment so it's not off angle-wise when they lay their foot down, when they put their foot down? Come, Lord. You said vertebrae? Strangle. I ask for what's being strangled to be released. Put the train back on the track. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Let your power be released. In Jesus' name. I see a picture of like a clock being wound, you know, real tight, and just a little relief causes that thing to disengage. And I pray that would be the result, where that be able to have that deep on the inside, because that pressure's off. Lord, the Bible says that you rescue us because you delight in us. And I pray for physical rescue. Each one of these names written in a book, that there would be a rescue from the pain, both symptom and cause. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Y'all keep praying. I'm going to release everybody else. Thanks for being with us this morning. We'll be back on Wednesday night. Please feel free to join us. And next week we'll talk more about angels and the Lord. Bless your heart.